1 Kings 19, beginning of verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice, a delicate whispering voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved for myself 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there. Elijah, a man with a nature like ours, a zealous man, a very zealous man, zealous for the Lord God. Oh God, that our nature be like his. The record, it was a time when the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant of the Lord. They'd torn down his altars. They'd killed his prophets with the sword. And here's Elijah crying out to the Lord. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. You know, the Lord was well aware of the condition of what had taken place and what was taking place. Nothing is hid from the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord responds to the man's cry, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. So Elijah went out and he stood before the Lord. A man looking for an answer. A man in need of an answer. What remedy? What solution? What form of action? What to do? Wind, earthquake, fire. Surely these would do. a great and strong wind, a hurricane wind that can tear into mountains and break rocks in pieces. An earthquake that shakes and trembles earth, a fire, flames of incredible heat, astonishing power. This must be God. This must be His answer. This must be the solution to deal with the forsaking and the tearing down and the killing with the sword. Lord, the wind, the earthquake, the fire, these will do. Surely these would work, and surely these would aid Elijah, a man with a mark upon his life. The text, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. The Lord wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. Still small voice. We might be prone to think that the answer we need is wind, earthquake, and fire. There we are standing before the Lord, standing on the mountain before the Lord. This great strong wind. But He's not in it. A powerful earthquake. He's not in it. Fire. But He's not in it. Hear the Spirit of the Lord today, standing on the mountain before the Lord. And after the wind had ceased, the earthquake had stopped, the fire had silenced, a still small voice. The Amplified Classic, the sound of a gentle stillness and a still small voice. The NLT reads, the sound of a gentle whisper. The Voice Bible, a gentle, quiet voice entered into Elijah's ears. A still small voice. The text, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Was Elijah discouraged? A still small voice. God's not in the wind. God's not in the earthquake. God's not in the fire. His answer is a still small voice. The still small voice. You know, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. We'd love to call on a great strong wind capable of tearing into mountains and breaking rocks in pieces. To call on an earthquake to shake the earth, to call fire down from heaven. Surely this is the answer. But it wasn't the answer of the Lord for this. and for this man and for what was taking place. Elijah hears the voice and he wraps his face in his mantle and goes out and stands at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice comes to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He then repeats what he had previously said. Same words, the same cry. I mean, he had just stood on the mountain before the Lord in these great happenings, wind, earthquake, fire. Was it that the Lord wanted to remind the man where he is found, where he is? Was the Lord seeking to usher the man into a new realm? Did the man need to be stilled? Did the man need a breaking, a shaking, and a burning? Did the man need a quieting down? He was a man of God. A man used mightily of God, a faithful man, a zealous man, the Bible records. Oh, we need the wind. We need the earthquake. We need the fire. But I hear the words of Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still." That you might hear the still small voice. I ask today, do we need to be brought to the place of the still small voice? Brought back to the place of the still small voice. The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu king over Israel. And Elisha you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill." Elijah thought he was all alone. The only one left. The lone prophet, not the lone zealot. The Lord said to him, "I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." You see, the still small voice was what Elijah needed. And in the still small voice was all he needed. Wrap your face in the mantle and let God speak to you. Mantle, glory, splendor, magnificence, cloak made of fine material, prophet's garment. Ah, people of God, we need our faces wrapped. We need to wrap our faces, to wrap closely or tightly, and wrap, envelop. Faces wrapped in glory. Faces wrapped in splendor, clothed with fine material, a prophetic garment. Wrap thy face and listen to the still small voice. And when the Lord your God speaks to you, when the Lord speaks to us, let us speak to him with the face wrapped in glory, splendor, magnificence. Fine divine material, prophetic fabric, speech filtered and purified by glory. Those who have ears to hear today, listen to the still small voice. Just like Elijah, the still small voice is what we need. And in the still small voice is all we need. Instruction, inspiration, assurance, assertion, encouragement, the promise that we are not alone, the very reservation of God. You see, the still small voice speaks to us. The still small voice speaks to us that God is close. The Lord is close. The Lord is near. He doesn't need to shout because of the intimacy. He doesn't need to shout. When he gets us to the place of the still small voice, the Lord told Elijah what to do, gave the man the specifics. Go run with the instruction of the still small voice. Don't remain standing in the entrance of a cave. The necessary moments, and now the necessary action. You know, it's true. The still small voice has the power of a hurricane wind, an earth-shaking tremor, a devouring fire. This is where the answer was. This is where the power was. The still small voice. And God gave Elijah three names. And spiritually speaking, the meaning of these three names can speak to us today. First, the name Elijah, my God is Jehovah. Or Yah is God. And the names God gave him. Hazael, one who sees God. Jehu, Jehovah is he. Elisha, God is salvation. Go and anoint these. Consecrate these. For Elijah, it was three men, three names. For us, it could be the same. Or it could be this spirit, this manner, this outlook, this reality, this new reality, this holy conviction. Face wrapped in glory, and the Lord gives us the answer. One who sees God, Jehovah is he. God is salvation. Take heart. One who knows that God is in the still small voice. One that's been brought to the place of the still small voice. God is near, God is close. This intimacy. One who sees God, Jehovah is he. God is salvation. Yes. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah seeth, Jehovah provider. Jehovah Rophe, healer. Jehovah Nisi, victory. Jehovah Emkadesh, sanctifier. Jehovah Shalom, peace. Jehovah Rohi, shepherd. Jehovah Tzidkenu, righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, felt presence. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, captain of heaven's armies, God who fights my battles. Oh, Elijah, remember the meaning of your name. My God is Jehovah. Listen, he's all we need. He's everything we need. Please hear these words today. God had to teach Elijah a lesson on listening. So he took him to the top of Mount Horeb and gave him an illustrated sermon. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And so it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" When the wind began to howl, I think Elijah thought, "It's about time. Lord, blow Jezebel right off her throne and throw her and her sinner friends to the winds. Blow them all away." But God was not in the wind. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, and Elijah said, "That ought to scare them good. God will get even. He will shake them right out of their shoes." But God was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, the heavens were aglow with white-hot flames. Elijah said in his heart, "Lord, they didn't accept the fire that fell on the altar, so burn them out. Burn out wicked Ahab. Fry Jezebel. Cause your fire to consume the wicked." But God was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. Can you imagine this? A prophet who was not afraid of a hurricane or an earthquake or heavenly fireworks is frightened by a still small voice. Elijah covered his head with his coat. Why? Had not this prophet talked to God many times? Was he not a great man of prayer? Hadn't God used him mightily? Yes. But Elijah was a stranger to the still small voice. When he finally allowed that voice to speak, alone, quiet, away from all the power displays, he got the most specific directions in all his ministry. Go to the wilderness of Damascus, anoint Hazael king over Syria, anoint Jehu king over Israel, and anoint Elisha to be prophet to follow you. How many busy children of God today have never had the voice come to them? They are busy witnessing, doing good, praying for a spiritual awakening, fasting, so intense, so dedicated, yet they have heard everything but the voice of the Lord. Yeah, it's weighty. Alone, quiet, away from all the power displays, the most specific directions. Well, let's press on with the story and crossover characters. From Elijah to Elisha. Elijah departs. Verses 19 to 21, he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, go back again. For what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. You know, this could speak to us in many ways today. The name Elisha, God is salvation. And for each of us, a day when we must choose to answer the call of God. Salvation's call and the call of the Lord for our lives. And it may be that we hear the call from one whose God is Jehovah as they pass by the field of life we are plowing in. You see, if not for the still small voice, for a man acquainted with the still small voice resulted in the calling of Elisha and the anointing of this man's life. People of God, our zeal for the Lord and our connection with the still small voice can affect the next generation and secure zealous sons and daughters for the days that lie ahead. Lord, let it be. Let it not end with us. We need a holy transfer, a generational infusion, a generational transfer. See, God knew where Elisha was. And God knows where we are. He knows where sons and daughters are. The Lord watched Elisha, his eyes upon his life and living. He knew the man. He knew his manner and manners. He knew the character. He knew his heart. There's Elisha plowing a field with 12 yoke of oxen. A day in the field. Another day in the field. He had been there before. He was acquainted with plowing. A diligent man. A man faithful to task. A man routinely loyal. A man thorough concerning the duties of life. Just another day in the field. Another day of plowing. And yet this day, the man would receive the call to enter into a new realm of life and living. Listen, the Lord sees, the Lord knows. Elisha made a decision that day. He put an end to the old life and walked on. Brother, sister, it's time. He made a definitive decision to follow in the footsteps of my God is Jehovah. For he knew that God is salvation. No other life, no other existence would do for this man. Elisha wanted God. And he wanted the call of God for his life, a mantled existence. Elisha. Wow, look what the Lord did with the man. How he used the man for his purpose, for his glory. A man mantled, a man called because a zealous man heard the still small voice. Elisha, a man of God, one of prophetic nature. He was a man of determination. A man called by God, a man who accepted the call, a man who knew the call, and a man who knew the cost. So much history. And yet, for the sake of time, we cross over to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2, verses 1 and 2, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. You know, Bethel means house of God. Might just be. I hear you, Lord. Commitment and dedication tested. And it's the same for us. It's the same for every one of us. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. What quality, what character, what spirit, what devotion. Verses 3 and 4, now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Jericho. Yeah. Verses 5 and 6, now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. You see, the choice to stay. Elisha, you know, he could have stopped and said, "Elijah keeps putting me off." And right here, many would take on the spirit of not feeling valued or appreciated. Test. Verses 7 to 10, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan, yeah, there at the river. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Should not each generation be stronger in the Lord?" Sons and daughters asking a hard thing. Asking, seeking, positioning themselves for a double portion of the spirit of the holy ones gone before them. A hard thing. Not light and easy, less taxing, less demanding, lesser walk, lesser manner, buckling knees and sinful lips. You've asked a hard thing. Verses 10 to 15, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." Holy transfer, generational transfer, generational transfusion. Double portion anointing. Because a man asked a hard thing. A son asked a hard thing. Any sons or daughters in the house willing to ask a hard thing? Incredible how the Lord used the man Elisha throughout the course of his life. The people of God, the Lord would use each of us to accomplish his purpose and purposes. Listen, we can relate. Salvation's call and the specific call and anointing for our lives. The decision to go for God. The determination to not stay, but to continue in faithfulness and devotion. A life that desires the fire. A life that desires the mantle, the anointing. A life that chooses a hard thing, for not all choose a hard thing. Choosing a hard thing, focused, devoted, relentless, sold out. A life that pines for double. And so an anointing that is evident in life and living. And an anointing that continues when we exit this life and cross over into glory. An anointing that has lasting power. There are many in this room that know what I'm talking about. An anointing that has lasting power, an anointing that impacts the generation and the next generation. We're tracking fast today. Elisha's days played out. A life lived in full commitment to the Lord. And the Lord's purposes were accomplished. And now we come to chapter 13 of 2 Kings. If you haven't read it, join me. 2 Kings 13, beginning at verse 14, Elisha had become sick. With the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands, and he said, "Open the east window," and he opened it. And Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it, but now you will strike Syria only three times." Then Elisha died, having prophesied at least 55 years. And they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. You know, it's interesting that the king quotes the prophet's own words. "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. Elisha told the king, take a bow and arrows, put your hand on the bow, open the east window, shoot. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance. Now take the arrows, strike the ground. You know, I wonder, was the Lord seeking to transfer an anointing, a deliverance anointing to the king? But look, the king took the arrows, and he struck the ground three times, and he stopped. Content. Satisfied. Pleased. It's enough. Should have. For this was not the spirit of Elisha. You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Let's have the worship team return today. Well, Elisha died. They buried him. Spring came. We're all waiting on it. Spring came, and with it, raiding bands from Moab. And there was a funeral that day. A man was being buried. And so it was, as they were burying the man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. Funeral cut short. No time to finish the job. So they take the man and they put him in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Sprung in the springtime. Whatever happened to the man? Like, why is that not in the Bible? What was his name? What was the meaning of his name? How did his days play out? Was he anointed? Was there a transfer? Yeah, I want to know. Listen, what a miracle. And I don't know about you, but I want my bones to burn when I die. Life-giving power in them. Like Elisha, maybe they can bring dead things to life, raise a dead generation, bring life to the corpse. I mean, what happened to the man who touched the bones of Elisha? Listen, church, the fire must be in the bones while there's life in the body. If that's all you hear, the fire must be in the bones while there's life in the body. Present burning in the living. You know, the Word is as a fire. The Holy Ghost, fire. An anointing as fire. We're talking about passion, devotion, zeal, fervor. Equals fire. Relentless pursuit and undying commitment. Fire. Elisha got the fire because he counted the cost. He wouldn't be deterred and he wouldn't be left behind. You know, it shows you. It shows you how deep the fire needs to be. Beyond just the surface. So deep. In the very marrow of a man or woman. I don't know about you today, but there is no doubt that I've touched bones of those that have gone before me. And they've brought me to life. And in cases, back to life. Oh, the wind, the earthquake, and the fire of the still small voice. Is there an Elijah in the house? God wants to take you to the place of the still small voice beyond the power displays. The Lord wants to give you specific instruction. Remember the meaning of your name. It's a day to wrap your face in the mantle. Let God speak to you. Is there an Elisha in the house? Count the cost. Leave the old life behind. Follow in the footsteps of my God is Jehovah. Ask a hard thing. Cry out for something that really matters. Get zealous. Get to church. Follow Elijah to Bethel. Follow him to Jericho. Go down to the river. Ask a hard thing. Pass the test. Is there a little K King in the house today? Don't miss the moment. Take the arrows, shoot. Now take the arrows and strike the ground. You know, there will always be those that strike the ground three times and stop. Always. Every generation has proven it. There are those in this house today. You know, it's just reality. You will settle for three strikes on the ground. Everyone must choose for themselves. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, like a 12th generation Christian or you've been saved for 12 minutes. We all have to choose. How many times am I going to strike the ground? Three times and I'm content? That's enough? It's not enough. You see what kind of spirit we need? It's men and women of God. Doesn't matter our role in this life, how he's working out his kingdom and his purposes in the earth. He says strike. So, you know, just strike the ground. Like go four times, go five times, go six times, go seven. At least get to seven, the number of perfection. Hit eight, number of new beginnings. Nine, Holy Ghost. Get the fire. Parents in the house, you're like, it doesn't really matter what I do right now. I'm content. I'm a three-strike person. Okay. You know what? If that's the case, you know, God forbid, but it might just be that your kids only strike the ground two times. Or one. Or none. Serious, guys. We all have to choose. We all have to choose. Is there a corpse in the house? Spiritually speaking, the day of your funeral. But thank God some raiders came into the land. And we don't have time to bury you. Funeral cut short because the choice is before you. Get let down into the tomb today and touch the bones. Touch the bones. Let's stand. If you need prayer today, I know we're over time. I apologize. Would you please make your way to the front? If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, listen, come to life today. Be revived today. Jesus. Lord, make us like Elijah. Bring us to the place of the still small voice. We need answers, God. We need direction, Lord. We need specific instructions, the most specific instructions we've ever received. Lord, I'm so thankful for the 7,000 that you've reserved for yourself, that have not bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his image. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's not be those that get caught up with all the others. Let's focus on what's right and keep on with you.